Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 9th. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 152, first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under, reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Winise N. for the 12 steps, Patty L. for the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Eileen M., and Penny L.C. Leslie W. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 8, 2021, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 18,209. That's 18209. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 18,213. That's 18213. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Winise N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Winise.
Good morning. My name. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Winise N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. And I'll pass.
Thank you. I'll now ask Patty L. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty L., a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Excuse me. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Patty. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 152, first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under, reading that one paragraph only. I will now ask Eileen M. to begin reading. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Brandy. This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. We have shown how we got out from under. You say, yes, I'm willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum, like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? So for me, this paragraph is about change and about, you know, having the courage to change. It's about taking a risk. And, you know, I was thinking back on when I first started, it was a risk to open up to members who guided me through the steps. You know, that was something that I was afraid to open up to people and let them know who I was. And that was really where I started learning about trust. Because prior to OA, I did not trust anyone. And, you know, I never really could have imagined what was in store for me as a result of going through the process of the steps and then living in steps 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, as a result of my recovery, I can now turn and help other people and actually be useful in life, you know. And that's just been one of the many rewards of the program, is being able to help others. And, you know, the more that I sponsor and give this away, the more I've learned that other people are just like me. I mean, we're all so similar, and I learned that I'm not so unique like I thought I was. And I'm not alone anymore in the disease. You know, I can choose not to be alone pretty much, you know, on a daily basis. And I'm just so grateful for everything that I've been given. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. All right. So we will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Penny
Judith
L.C.
Penny L.C. Sorry, was that Judith?
Yes.
Judith, what's your last admission?
Is the reading from, huh? I'm sorry.
We're on page 152, the first paragraph. We have shown
Thank
how
you.
We got out from under. Yeah.
Thank you.
Judith, what's your last initial? Thank you.
Wendy B.
Wendy B. Anyone else?
Robin L.
Robin L.
Hilda S.
Hilda S. Okay. All right, so let's start with that then. So I have Penny LC, Judith P, Wendy B, Robin L, and Hilda S. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I can remember that fear of letting go of my best friend at that time, also my worst enemy. But the food was a friend. The food had consoled me, and now I was being separated from it. And the detoxing was not easy, and it wasn't anything I wanted to look forward to. But so there was some fear, and there was fear of whether life would be better, and yet program and my sponsor kept telling me that there was assurance that life would be doable one day at a time. And I think that that's what this chapter is really all about, giving that newcomer a vision that they too can have hope, and there is a way beyond a life of the misery and depression and awful day-to-day existence that it was for me in the food. But as was mentioned, change is scary. And it's scary to think about letting go of that fear that but that fear is what stops me from changing. And so I have to be willing to trust if I want to live a sane and useful life. And so I have to be willing to put my hand in your hand, in another's hand, in someone who has experience that can tell me it can work. And my choice at that moment is just to have a grain of trust, and to know that there is a chance that it could work for me too. And just being that so grateful that I had that grain of trust, that hope that was there and was blessed with the gift of change. And my life is amazing today to be free from that and to have a spiritual walk. It's a blessing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny. All right, next up I have Judith, followed by Wendy B. Good morning, Judith.
Hi, this is Judith S.P. from Maryland, recovered and grateful for my recovery and to be with you all, and thank you for your service, Penny. I've never, thank God, been pinned under a car. But somehow when I read this first sentence, we have shown how we got out from under. It gave me the sense of being pinned. And I couldn't really move. And what I'm talking about primarily is my spirit was so blocked from God and was so heavy that I couldn't get out from under. And coming into these rooms and day after day, learning and growing has given me the opportunity, with my connection to my higher power, working the steps and connecting with you all, to slowly but surely see this sunlight of the day. And when it says, Am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum? I'm thinking, oh, stupid, boring, and glum. That's what I was like when I was in the food. I couldn't have been more stupid, and I couldn't have been more boring because my mind was always focused on where am I going to get my food. And glum translated to depression because I felt so much humiliation and embarrassment and shame that, you know, if happiness came, it was like one of those dandelions when it changes into the little white powdery stuff and just floats off. And I am just so truly grateful because I have to get along without my trigger foods and ingredients. And I know, having recovered and having had a spiritual awakening, that there is, I think the word substitute isn't as amazing. Have you a sufficient miracle, you know? Because today I can see clearly, not perfect, but I'm able to make choices to support and live in my recovery and not feed the disease of compulsive overeating. So with that, I'll pass, and everyone have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. All right, next up I have a Wendy B., followed by Robin L. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, so he had a perception, you know, of religious people as stupid, boring, and glum, and not having any fun, you know, being a wet blanket thrown on his great ideas, you know, and you know, thinking that religious people are too busy following the rules and trying to be good and they can't enjoy life, you know. But I see that as a self-centered addict, you know, just wanting to be with like-minded fellows living irresponsible lives and making foolish choices and not wanting to face the truth, you know, that life in addiction isn't fun. You know, the consequences pile up, you know, the substance no longer works, you know, to drown out the truth, you know. And as the addict, you know, I was the one who was stupid and boring, and, you know, I was isolating and only concerned with what I would put into my mouth next, you know. And I wasn't interested in those around me. I was only using them to get my needs met. And, you know, my substance stopped working, and I found out through program that God is the real thing that can meet my needs. You know, when I finally stopped stuffing my God-shaped hole with food, you know, food was the substitute when the real thing is God. And I know now that walking in His will and doing what He planned for my life is just so rewarding, you know, that nothing else can give me this sense of satisfaction and contentment. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. All right, so next up I have Robin L., followed by Hilda S. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. This is Robin L. from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive overeater. And the whole idea of being willing was very, very important to me. And when I first came in, I wasn't quite sure. And when someone suggested that sugar could be a problem, how was I ever going to live without sugar? Sugar had become my God. And the attitude of, you know, feeling like, yeah, what will I be like? Stupid, boring, and glum. I wouldn't be high, if you will, on sugar. I wouldn't be full speed ahead. I could be calm. I could be peaceful instead of being stupid, boring, and glum. But I didn't know that in the beginning, and I did question, you know, how could I ever get along without sugar? But there is a sufficient substitute that I found coming into recovery, and that is having God in my life as my director and my guide. And today I can live with that and be peaceful and be calm and eat healthy and think healthy. And it's a much better way of life than I could have imagined. So I'm grateful to share this morning, and thank you.
Thank you, Robin. All right, next up I have Hilda S. Good morning, Hilda.
Good morning. Hi, Hilda S. from South Florida. When I want to share really pretty much that I am so grateful today for the program, because when I'm in the food, and when I was in the food, rather, and without program, it's very hard, you know, not to go back. I mean, I have to really practice my program, and I'm so grateful for the program and the people in it. When I'm in the food, I consider myself in my own head. I mean, every, you know, it's like such a terrible cycle of pain and suffering and on food. And what program has offered me, in which I, you know, I'm for today, I'm absolutely grateful that I am abstinent and following my food plan, and also reaching out to people and getting on meetings. It's a whole different type of existence. I feel centered. I feel my connection is clear to my higher power. Instead of like, oh yes, I believe in God, and yes, and I'm turning His will. I can feel it. I feel the connection. I feel so much calmer and more at peace. And it's really through program, really, that I've gotten to this point of not binging and not, you know, being like really in my disease. So thank you so much. And I am extremely grateful. And thank you for your service.
Thank you. All right. So, now we'll take more names. I'll tell you where we're at. We're on a page 152, first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under. We read that one paragraph only. Who would like to share on this?
Carol G.
Betsy O. Carol G. Betsy O. Anyone else? Great opportunity if you're new, or if you just want to claim your seat on this paragraph.
Donna C.
Yes, Barbara W.
Donna C. Barbara W.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Sorry, did I hear someone else? All right, well, let's go with that. That's a great lineup. So I'll tell you who I have. I have Carol C., Betsy O., Donna B., Barbara W., and Jordan L. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Carol G., as in George. Just to set the record straight. Thank you. And the first thing that I'd like to say about this paragraph is I just like how they said we have shown how we got out from under. So many times throughout this whole book, they have to keep reminding us that this book is the way, it is the solution, and it works, and people are recovered. Because I know as I went through it, I would forget constantly, and so I'm just grateful that they once again reminded me. And also, when they were talking about having a preconceived idea that people who abstain are stupid, boring, and glum, reminds me of a party I went to. And, of course, at the party, everyone was drinking wine and so on. And I'm not an alcoholic, and it doesn't set me off. But I was at the party, and I was feeling so darn good just from program and being abstinent and living the life that I feel good about, that when they said, you want some wine, I thought, you know what? I'm feeling so good. I don't think I even want to mess around with that. And so the whole night, I never had to drink wine. And they had to drink the wine in order to have fun. I was already having fun, and I just wound up, it was one of those larger-than-life moments that sometimes we get. It was like a breakthrough type of thing, being in a social situation with people that I'd seen through the years but never really knew. And because I wasn't into food, I wound up being interested in them instead of sitting there judging them or thinking, I know, oh, yeah, they're this or that. And I was fascinated, just asked some questions about themselves. And I don't know, it was just a wonderful experience. And I just think that it's the exact opposite, that we people who are in recovery are living a great life, are feeling that buoyancy and enthusiasm and being in the moment. And I'm trying to get this across to my sponsee right now, who is on her fifth step and fighting me and depressed. anyway, I just want to hang in there and pray to God that I get her through it so she can have what we have. So thank you so much for listening, and congratulations, everyone, on this line for your recovery and being able to enjoy life. Thank you for being there for me, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol G. All right, next up, I have Betsy.
Please, I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
What?
For page? Sorry, we're on page 152, first paragraph. All right, Betsy O, you want to share with us?
Yes. Hi, this is Betsy O from Colorado. Thank you for your service and the shares. This paragraph immediately brings to mind just my resistance. But am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum? And what my resistance looks like. And recently, in working through my steps, the concept of, like, I've been writing about, just trying to identify examples of scoffing, you know. And so this paragraph brings to mind just the idea of, like, you know, my resistance shows up in saying things like, oh, gosh, it's going to be so, so glum and boring, you know, life without the excitement of the way I want to manage my food. And I know that what this program offers is so much better than that. But, you know, this resistance comes up. And then other areas where the resistance comes up, you know, it's like, you know, my mind will say things like, what, you can't ever, you know, speak your mind to your husband. You know, you can't stick up for yourself. You can't have an opinion on things. You know, you can't engage in political discussion, you know. Just all of these areas of resistance and coming up with reasons like that, you know, that trying to make this program sound, you know, my disease tries to make this program sound unreasonable, you know. And so that's what this is bringing to mind. And just so grateful for the share. It's reminding me and the experience, strength, and hope of this program, because do we have a sufficient substitute, you know. Right now, I have people, thank God, in my life and in this program, who are showing me just how infinitely, because I'm not experiencing it right now, but I trust and believe that there is an infinitely better way than this freedom, you know, I'm clinging to, or this resistance. So I'm very grateful for this program and the opportunity to share and everyone else's shares, and I pass.
Thank you so much. All right, next up I have Donna B. followed by Barbara W. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, also calling from Colorado. We've shown how we got out from under, which is sort of the essence of how the program works. I share my experience, strength, and hope to the still suffering compulsive overeater and bulimic so that they can have faith, so that they can have hope that this program might work for them too. And that message of hope has been so important to me. Every day that I live in abstinence, I can look around me and see that there are others who have lived in abstinence even longer than I have, and that gives me hope. I also see that there's nothing that life might bring my way that somebody in the rooms has not already been through. So not just with the food or the resentments, but with just life in general. Somebody in the rooms has gotten through the worst possible hardships, my most imaginary, biggest fear. Somebody has gone through abstinently and with the power of, with the help of their higher powers, showing them how to live, how to manage the next right thought or action. And that it's sort of like I've been admitted to like the highest caliber university in the entire world and have one-on-one access to the professors who have the answers to all of life's questions. I only have to ask and to seek, right? God could and would if he were sought. In regards to this question of a life of boredom and glum and stupid, that has not been true for me. However, I do think it's important to acknowledge that there are losses, real losses, that accompany recovery. Along with the gains, there are losses that are worth acknowledging as losses and giving myself the opportunity to grieve and to share that loss with my fellows. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna. All right, next up I have Barbara W. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. My name is Barbara W. and I'm from a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington in Seattle. Boy, I don't share often, but this one really jumped out at me. I was raised in a home of what I would call functional alcoholic parents. And that was around me from my earliest memory. And of course, every time my parents, I was awake when my parents were having a gathering down in our finished basement. That's all I saw. I saw happy people drinking, and that's all I computed. They were having a good time, and the connection I made in my little mind was, oh, it must be because of what they're drinking or something. And I never became an alcoholic, grateful. I'm not sure why, but the point I make is, in my mind, I saw this stupid, boring, and glum as a box, and it's a box I did not want to be in. And for some reason, my disease did not activate until my late 20s, and by then I was a parent, I could never, what I started to see was my spouse at that time didn't like any kind of gathering. And for me, that seemed very restrictive because I couldn't socialize. And the only social avenue I had was the people I knew in my church. And that became outside the box, and it turned out to be a very loving thread in my life. And today is my birthday, and I'm 76 years old, and I have more joy and peace in my life today than I've ever had in my life. And I find that stupid, boring, and glum are such judgmental words. And often I hear them coming out of the words, the minds and mouths of addicts or people who are judging. And have, oh boy, have I been a judgmental person and critical? Yes, I have. In my disease, I was at my worst. But today, I am more confident. I'm more at peace. And I'm thinking of, why don't I give to the ASPCA or a battered women's shelter instead of worrying about what presents I'm going to get for my birthday or for Christmas. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. All right, next up, I have Jordan L. And following Jordan L., we will take a couple more names. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for moderating for us, Brandy. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Las Vegas, Nevada this morning on Pacific time, but grateful to be abstinent and on an Overeaters Anonymous meeting with everyone. So I'm in Las Vegas for work, right? And it's kind of funny because, like, Las Vegas is that place that has the reputation of being everything but stupid, boring, and glum, right? and it's all good, like, no judgment on Las Vegas, but I don't know. I look around and it's hard to find, like, attraction. Like there's very little that I'm attracted to as far as the stuff that's going on around me, you know? Like I really have found a sufficient substitute within the 12 steps and within this fellowship. It I have no desire to participate in it, you know? There's like a little part of me that wants to fit in, of course, and be like amongst other people and having fun. But I can do that without the food. I can do that without the alcohol and any other mind altering substances. Like I can go and do that today. And be 100% like present, comfortable in my body, not obsessing about my body, but like using it the way that it's meant to be used. And we went for a kayaking trip on the Colorado River when we first got here. You know, there's like this beautiful river right outside of the city, and this gorgeous canyon that. I can go and do that with other people, even with other people who aren't necessarily in the 12 steps, and practice my program there, like practice my principles, even amongst those people who have no idea what they are, you know? and it's very eye-opening, I guess. To kind of be on the other side of, I don't know, I guess this envy that I had experienced for much of my life. It's always an envy of someone else and what they have and wanting that, you know? And now it's I'm on the other side and I very much want what I have. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jordan. All right, so we have a couple more minutes to take more names. So we're on page 152, first paragraph. We have shown how we got out from under. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Anyone else?
Angie.
Christina M.
Kathy G.
Angie M, is it?
Yes, M is in moon.
Okay. Kathy G.
Elena C.
Elena C. Okay, we'll go with those. All right. Good morning, Wendy M.
Good morning. Hi, Wendy M. In Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Happy to be on the line. Thanks for your service. So I'm looking for the page. What comes up for me is people pleasing. When I'm on a date, the first thing my addict wants is a glass of wine so I can please the other person, so I can be in an altered state. Not so much the food, but that there's pressure there as well when I'm out. And it's and I have a choice at that moment. I can either choose to check out, and I'm not an alcoholic, but as somebody said on the other line, when I drink alcohol, when I drink wine, I find myself eating. So, you know, it's either going to be in Wendy's world or God's world. And the question is, am I willing to not people please that other person and put some wine in my body so that I'll feel different, so I can leave myself, so that I can possibly take care of another person? You know, and so much of this disease is instant gratification. I want it now. And I want to be like everybody else, especially when it comes to, what are those restaurants? Like Japanese food. Oh, my God, there's, like, my son, everybody, so much pressure. It's just blank. It's okay. It's just blank. And at first I'm like, yeah, I want to join that party. But the minute I join that party, whether it's a glass of wine with a gentleman on a date or eating sushi or whatever it is, I've left myself. I've deserted myself. And I've certainly deserted God. And, you know, all it takes is that pause. Like, is that a good decision? Wine will take me, not only does it take me out of my state, and it takes me out of my connection with God, but as I said, I want more food. I want different food. And today, I don't feel like my choices around food are glum at all. I don't feel glum. I don't feel boring. I have to admit, sometimes I want that glass of red wine. But it's not a good decision for me just for today. And the thing is, this is all about getting honest. Like, get honest, Wendy. If you do that, what will happen? And what are your motives? Like, where do you want to go? Where are you headed? And if it's to please the other person, it's to feel some emotional connection with somebody I just met, right? That false sense of intimacy. If that's what's going on, let's check that out.
Time, and, please.
And that's my time. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Wendy. All right. Next up, I have Angie M, followed by Kathy G. Good morning, Angie.
Hey, this is Angie M from North Texas, recovering compulsive overeater. Very thankful to be on the line this morning. I'm just starting my sixth step and just thankful for this this meeting and this program and my higher power. And, you know, I come from a family, extended family of addicts, and the drugs of choice have been alcohol, illicit drugs, and food. So in my case, obviously it's food. And I, over the years, have mostly abstained from alcohol as an adult, just knowing that that was not a path I should go down and be very, very careful after having seen what my dad has gone through in his lifetime. So I've been very careful. And now, as an adoptive parent, as an adoptive parent, our child, she's seven, has made it very clear that she doesn't want any alcohol in the house, doesn't want her father to have that beer once in a while, which, you know, he could have said, oh, it's okay, honey, I'm careful with this, and, you know, it's not something I do very often at all. But we decided to just abstain from that completely to help her feel better, because she knows that That's why her birth mother could not parent her. So I'm thankful that we're just keeping that out of the house. But I feel like with our extended family, it probably to them always seemed boring. And we're kind of the couple that, you know, just doesn't know how to have fun because we're holy rollers or whatever. And looking back now, being in program, we have been boring. I have been boring. They could see the judgment on my face. And now in program, I view things differently. I feel things differently. And, you know, they say when you stop one addiction, you should replace it with something else. Well, I am deciding to replace my food addiction with joy. I am going to include in my action plan daily joy and laughter. My children need to see someone who is joyful and has fun and not always just trying to check off my to-do list and trying to make sure that my children don't grow up to be addicts and trying to, you know, control every situation. It's time to just intentionally be joyful. And just like with the program, I keep hearing it,
time,
reading the literature and knowing that it is getting in there into my heart and brain. And so will joy and laughter. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy G. All right, I have Elena C. up next. We have about 2 minutes, Elena. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Elena C., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. Yeah, so I identify with this, with a feeling of loss, grief and loss. And for me, you know, when the compulsive overeating, along with the allergy of the body, was equated with the connection with especially my mother, but also other people when I was growing up. And I remember having binges because when she was cooking fudge, and she was a great mom, but she was also married to an alcoholic and very preoccupied, and she did the best she could. And then after my sister passed away when I was 16, I remember my first real binge, really eating a box of chocolates. I was with my dad and her husband, and I just had this, like, along with liking it, but it was just this feeling of, I need you to pay attention to me. I need connection with you. I feel so lost without. So this paragraph reminds me of that, but also it reminds me that now I don't, I mean, I had for years, I had a fear of abandonment, and that's not true anymore. It comes in and out very, very rarely, and I have tools to cope. And I have a sufficient substitute. I have my God Squad. I have a Vision for You meeting. I have my higher power tools of the program, the stops, you name it. And today, I love myself for the most part. I'm not depending on how others will view me, how others will be with me. I need to be there for me, and God is there for me, and that's what I know. And with that, up. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. So we'll now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read a vision for you?
Yes, this is Penny L.C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him, and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.